Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's a new year and it's time for new possibilities, and child, do we ever need them. Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
Shorty swing my way, sure look good to me. Now would you please swing my way? Shorty swing my way.
Swing it over.
Stepped off in the club on a Friday night. Yes. Looking for a man that'll do me right. First move that I made was on the dance floor. You know you can't find that song anywhere but YouTube.
I don't know why.
It's literally only the remix. That's how I ended up picking that song for this week, because I was on the phone with Antonio. Shout out to Antonio. And he started singing the song. So he was like, yo, you know you can't find it on Apple Music? So I said, well, let me check Spotify. You got Spotify? He was like, nah. So I said, let me check Spotify. Spotify only has the remix. I said, let me check Tidal. Tidal only has the remix, because it was on the Can't Hardly Wait soundtrack. But the actual song that we all know and love, the original by KP and Envy, not a group, by the way, is nowhere to be found on any streaming service outside of the tubes of you. But anyway, praise the Lord, niggas. How are you today, sis?
I am okay. I am safe and I have what I need.
You know,
so that's going to be my response from now on till times get better, but you know, I'm okay.
I think that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I'm right there in the same place with you. You know, we're in the throes of a blizzard outside right now. I want to say I heard last that the snow was up to the knees.
Yeah, it snowed here in the DMV too. Not as much. We don't have feet of snow like y'all got, but it was more ice. It snowed pretty much all day yesterday, and then last night over in the night it was freezing rain, so there's like a heavy layer of ice over what fell yesterday. So I have not been outside since Saturday. So good luck to everyone.
When's the last time I went outside? Maybe Saturday, actually. I think Saturday was the last time I went outside also. And I got my groceries on Friday. I thought I was going to do way more, but I didn't. So I'm actually kind of proud of myself. I'm actually kind of irritated as well. I'm like, there are things you could have gotten on this list. Because, you know, usually your girl be over prepped, freezer be popping, you know, busting open. Can't keep it closed. So, but anyway, we are here this week. We are both, you can hear it in the voices. I think everybody is here in life right now, I think, for the most part, from what I'm hearing.
Very grateful, but also, you know, it's very, just, very much acknowledging, you know, the heaviness of all the circumstances that we're navigating. We're still in, you know, we are still very much being impacted by COVID. It's still very steadily taking the lives of people that we know, people that we don't know. And it's just an intense time. And so I'm definitely thinking about and praying for everyone who is dealing with some kind of loss, some kind of
yes,
grief. Because it's, I definitely yeah. feel that one of my close friends lost mm-hmm. her mom, and I just been praying her, mm-hmm. praying for her, holding her in my heart all day, because it just seems to be getting closer and closer, man. And, y'all are still yeah. out here, you know, acting like this is not a thing
at the parties,
going to the club. I'm seeing flyers for Super Bowl parties and people having functions at their homes and all of that. And listen, I mean, everybody, if you mm-hmm. got, if you are sure of yourselves and know that you're doing things safely, then more power to you. But I just, my nerves cannot take it.
No. I have my very, very close quarantine, which are my 3 to 4 people that I see, where we are all very diligent about being in a crib, and we're the only people we see. And not in group settings, even with everybody isolating, not even in group settings. And you just got to be cautious right now. You just got to be cautious. And it's not the time to be shaming people for, you know, their precautions or what they're doing to keep themselves safe, because like Kia said, more and more every day we're seeing more and more loss, you know, people affected by COVID, family is affected by COVID, friends affected. So, you know, we just gotta try to look out for one another. Like, it's not that difficult, but what am I preaching for? Like, what is this even for? Shit has been going on a whole fucking year. So, all of that. But we got trash to get into. Pretty heavy, actually, this week. Man. So I think we might be able to distract ourselves quite Ooh. Well with that. Shall we head?
I guess we might as well. Okay, let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, I'm going to start the trash off this week with some positivity before we get into mess. Yeah. So Stacey Abrams, if you don't know who she is,
as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. You must live in a treehouse. But she's been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
I did see that.
Which I think is pretty dope.
I am mm-hmm. really, 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 I'm ecstatic, right? It actually pushed me to look up, like, what is the criteria for being nominated for a mm-hmm. Nobel Peace Prize? Because, I mean, I just felt like just the part of me that be on the internet and be knowing how, you know, the world works, felt like I might need to be ready to defend, because for some people who might be asking questions and carrying on, I would just love to have my receipts ready for people, to know what, you know, what are the different criteria for receiving a Nobel Peace Prize, who has received it before, and, you know, it's just, you know, I think it's, I don't want to get into all of the facts about the award itself, mm-hmm. but it is, you mm-hmm. know, just in terms, I think she's being considered because of her grassroots work for voter reform in Georgia,
yes.
and in the South more specifically. Yes. And for the
specifically for promoting nonviolent change,
absolutely, and you know, her mm-hmm. really systematic approach to getting information disseminated to folks who are marginalized and unfortunately the victims of misinformation, you know, and no information, mm-hmm. lack of access to resources and information, people who live in food deserts, and, you know, also under. And also impacted by other means of systemic oppression in this country. It's mm-hmm. also fascinating that Jared Kushner is also nominated for this year's prize, which I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know at all what that is. I don't know what that's about. But yeah, Abrams was nominated for her work on voter registration and rights. There's also Greta Thunberg has also nominated. Mm-hmm. And other nominees include the Black Lives Matter movement. It's also listed on this year's amongst this year's nominees nominations. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, shout out to Stacey.
Shout out to Stacey for sure.
Shout out to Stacey, and we'll see what happens. But she deserves. She absolutely deserves. She has been putting in the work for time, as Kia said. This is long before a lot of us, including myself, knew her name or what was going on, you know, unless you were maybe on the more local level or you paid attention a little bit closer. But I know those such as myself did not know Stacey in her grassroots days. So shout out to a Black woman who's been putting in the work.
Actually being actually about it.
Some,
right.
Some recognition for sure. It. Right. And getting her just due. Yeah, being about it and getting her and hopefully getting her just due. But the nomination in itself is we're gonna celebrate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, this the internet just never fails. It just never fails. So Chloe Bailey of Chloe and Halle. So the girls, you all know who Chloe and Halle is. They are proteges of Beyonce. And they are a sister duo, mm-hmm. very talented. Mm-hmm. They have since branched off and made their own individual Instagram accounts, which justifiably so. These are two grown women. Mm-hmm. One's 22, one's 18 or 19 or something, I believe, but grown enough. And, you know, forming their own identities. And so Chloe has been, you know, getting busy on her Instagram account. And niggas have had a lot to say about it.
So let me ask right there. When you say niggas, please, like, just unpack.
Niggas is all encompassing.
Absolutely.
All gender and genders. Races, creeds.
Absolutely. So I just, I too have been a little taken aback by all of this public response to this young lady using her Instagram very much like everybody else does. But
I mean, hello.
But
have we not seen more?
I didn't want to interrupt
what's the
you,
problem?
But I mean, it just I was struck. I was talking this morning to someone. I was like, I'm really baffled. I mean, if I just think about as many busted challenges as I have seen amongst my own network of people, and I mean, now the silhouette challenge is now a thing. So I just think
silhouette
the
challenge.
Amount of everyday people who are busting it and taking their clothes off under the red lights, or I don't know. I mean, just doing what they want to do on their social media. As many people as I have seen doing that, I was really struck to see that folks had a problem with how Chloe was using her own social media. Because I think if it's good enough for y'all, then why isn't it good enough for her? Now, I don't know. I don't know if I missed something, but based upon the post that I saw that Chloe put up of herself, it didn't look like it was a huge departure than it from anybody else's Instagram that I'd seen. So I didn't understand why she was getting so much backlash.
I've literally not seen anything that's a huge departure from anything that I have seen far more on this good internet. I have seen way, way more. We just saw a blue face out at the strip club. And it was like, I mean, it was probably 12 pussies across the screen. You know what I'm saying? Busting it wide open. And this young lady wants to do a busted challenge or what, or sage in her draws. And y'all got a problem with it. First, and call her attention seeking. First of all, I can guarantee she's not seeking the attention of your poor ass.
But I just, let's what is the difference clear. Between, like, why is somebody like Lizzo celebrated for embracing her body, embracing her sexuality, loving herself as she is? Why can't Chloe do the same thing in the same spirit? Because I get the same vibe from both of them. Like, I mean, unless I'm missing something, but I don't understand. I am.
Well, I know Lizzo has dealt with her own share of ridicule as well, but I think the issue is people not minding their own
business.
Well,
that's always
the root of the problem. I think the issue itself is, why are you all so concerned with what somebody who has nothing to do with your daily ins and outs, why are you so concerned about what is going on their personal Instagram account or in any facet of their life that has nothing to do with you? That is the ultimate question. Well, she's seeking attention. Okay, so what? She's a human being. Human beings like attention. Now, however that comes, we can discuss the nuances of that in another episode. But attention. Let's talk about first, what's wrong with people wanting the attention of another human being? Why do you all make it seem like it's so wrong?
It is arguable that anyone who has a social media page and anybody who posts anything is seeking attention in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I don't know. Like, I feel like if Cardi B and Meg can make a song about WAP and the whole world will go up and talk about how everybody has a right to celebrate themselves and their bodies, if Meg can, you know, drive the boat. And I mean, I just feel like if it's good enough for everybody, like, I don't know. I don't understand why Chloe is being singled out in this way. It's
because people have a really bad habit of holding people to standards that they have set. And that's not fair.
I mean, I think
it's just it's a number of things.
It's you know, I think about this a lot because, you know, I am always been fascinated by, you know, how young people who have such large platforms, like the gift and the curse of having a large platform during such a formative part of your life, right? Because when you are 22 years old, you're literally figuring out who you are and what that means in the world in some really serious existential ways, right? It's like, you know, you're dealing with, you know, the way that you see yourself and how others see you, whatever insecurities that you are you know, harboring and fighting. You know, you're literally trying to understand yourself and your place in the world, and to have to do that in front of millions of people as another layer. So, you know, while, you know, and thinking about accountability and compassion and, you know, just kind of being realistic in how we engage and think about social media as a curated space that people, you know, allow us into certain levels of their certain levels of their life, but like without completely, because I mean, we follow Chloe, but we can't say that we know her. Like, you know, we follow her, we listen to her music, we support her, we love her, and we think that she's super talented. We've been following her career. You know, her and her sister have been making music for these last few years, and we're proud of her, but we don't know her as a person, right? And I think social media, you know, oftentimes it just makes people way too familiar, and people are out here making judgments and comments on an individual who you do not know. And so I don't know. I'm glad that folks have been rallying around. I saw Halle Berry and folks like Wale, you know, other Sierra, other people have been posting to, you know, just encourage Chloe. And I'm glad to see that. But, you know, it's just like, there's just so much, freedom and peace in minding your business. Oh God, help us. Because if we were all just
freedom and peace,
there's just so much freedom and peace in minding your business, worrying about yourself, your social media, your life. I just think there's just so much freedom and peace, right? And I mean, because your business is enough, right? I'm learning that the deeper I get down into my business, I recognize that if I just consume myself with my own business, I have less and less time to be worried about anybody else's. So my God.
And I have enough.
I have enough
of my own business to be taken care of.
I think that's might be a good metric or indicator. Like if you don't have enough business of your own, then perhaps you should spend your time trying to get some business of your
own, right? Because Chloe's bills are paid. She don't have no tax liens. She don't owe no student loans. She's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what are her, you know, she don't have a lot of the concerns that a lot of you niggas have. So what in the world would we be having
now time, when you know say what I'm niggas. Saying?
When we have, I'm including myself because I have student loans. I'm saying I got other business. I have other business. I have tax. I just paid my tax bills. You know what I'm saying? In December 25th, I paid my tax responsibilities for 2020. God is good. My thing is though.
Yes.
I am so consumed with that, with my own savings account, with my own credit score, with my own to-do list, with my own email inboxes, with my own DMs. I'm so concerned with that I don't really have time to be worried about the fact that Chloe is in her own house, in her own drawers, lighting her own sage, doing like, I just like, what in the world? Like, y'all really got mad and took your fingers to the internet to comment on this young lady's life, right? Like, you don't have no business of your own, girl.
Mm-mm.
Really?
And you don't have your own? Do you know how grateful I... What were y'all doing at 22?
Listen, I mean, okay? You have to...
What were you...
Can you get somewhere and be worried about your own COVID-19 test results while you out here worried about Chloe? I just...
I would really love to see the amount of chlamydia positive forms.
When's the last time you got your blood work? Have you got a pap smear in the last 3 months? What in the world?
Have you checked your titties for lumps?
Good
have
God.
You checked your nuts for lumps? Like, I know you all have other things. What about that mold you have? Have you looked have you had that mold looked at?
When's the last time you've been to your primary care physician? Okay? Are your tax documents in order to file for 2020? What in the world are you worried about Chloe for? Is your gas light on? What are you worried about Chloe?
Is your check engine light on? I know half of you tires indicator lights are on because I've been in Ubers.
When the last time you've been to the dentist? Do you have any cavities? Are your side teeth still in your mouth? Why are you worried about Chloe?
Are your wisdom teeth impacted?
I just feel like there are so many things that we could be concerning ourselves with. I haven't the time, the interest, or the energy to be worried about this young lady's anything. I want
doing a busted challenge on Instagram.
I want the best for her, just like I want the best for all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? God bless Chloe.
Yeah.
You know, get out here, get this bag, make this money. You know, get this Disney check. Is she the one that's going to be the Little Mermaid?
No, that's the sister.
Okay, well, either way, go see your sister in the Little Mermaid, girl. Whatever. Okay? I just don't understand.
But she is ignoring. Thank God she responded to these people with a teary Instagram live. But she did say in the Instagram live that she can't be worried about what other people have to say about her all the time. And she knows what her intentions are and why she does the things that she does. And that's what's important.
And have you drank enough water today?
That is what's important. Have you?
Have you?
How many glasses have you had?
You know what I'm saying? Like, how many ounces of water have you had today? Why are you worried about Chloe?
Do you have those little dry patches in between your toes?
You know, or your fingers?
Did you lotion thoroughly?
Did you lotion your elbows? Did you lotion the parts of your body that are covered by clothes? Did you do that? Oh, okay.
Do you have any crust in your eyes?
This is what I'm saying. When's the last time you've been to the eye doctor? Have you changed your contacts this week? Like, what? Like, when's the last time you changed your sheets? When's the last time you changed your toothbrush? You worried about Chloe, and you need to be worried about yourself.
How many sets of sheets do you actually have? Do you have enough to
rotate?
When's
the last time you busted down your baseboards in your own house? You know what I'm saying? What are your windows looking like?
When's the last time you deep conditioned your hair?
Have you changed your shower curtain liner? What are you worried about Chloe for when you have other business to concern yourself with? Have you changed the lint trap in your dryer? What are the things? Like, these are the things.
Do you only have Lunchables and Hennessy in your apartment?
That's what I'm saying.
If that's the case, you don't need to be worried about Chloe.
When's the last time have you changed the baking soda in your refrigerator? When's the last time you cleaned your refrigerator? Okay?
When's the last time you had a healthy poop?
Listen. When's the last time you've been to the bathroom? That's a good question. Okay, what color is your stool? Do you got blood in it?
What color is it? And consistency.
I mean, we could just go on for the hour. I just want to know why y'all are in Chloe's business And I need to know. I hope this is like, do your kids know their multiplication tables? Like, what are we thinking about here? Okay. What are your cuticles looking like?
Cat?
You know what I'm saying? What are your cuticles looking like? Just take a quick look at your hand right now and say, oh, goodness, look at my own cuticles. What are
your plants dying? Have you researched why?
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Have you
When's the last time you changed your Brita filter?
What is the dust looking like on your bookshelves? Are your light bulbs working? Have you checked the batteries in your smoke detector? Like, I just feel like,
oh my God, that's what I was about to say. Is it beeping?
Ooh.
I was literally about to, is your smoke detector beeping? Are you wiping your ass with napkins? Yeah. When's the last time you re-upped on toilet paper?
I mean, do you have any flushable wipes handy? Like, okay, are all your
this is what I'm saying.
I mean, there are just so many things that we as a people need to be worried about, you know, in our own lives, in our own livelihoods, in our own households. I just wish that we would leave Chloe alone.
Facts.
Period.
Facts. Facts.
Thank you so much.
People we should not leave alone. Okay. and people who are not leaving other people alone, allegedly. Woo, this is ugly. Oh, so, Clifford. Clifford Harris and Tamika Cottle.
Can I just say, we talk about, we got to talk about T.I. entirely too much on Getting Grown. I mean, way too much. Oh, holy God.
We've already talked about your inappropriate commentary on your daughter's hymen.
Lord God, from
you are always talking out the side of your neck. Just all types of vocabulary, but they don't mean nothing.
We are just,
and now here you are again.
We're in danger.
In our conversation.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and read
Will
it.
So, your boy and your girl are in the news for alleged sexual assault allegations.
Many, many of them. Like many, many different.
Many, okay. Many. 30, whew, actually.
I mean, the last time I heard it was 19. The numbers are still rising.
When I had to read on it today I was like, oh, okay, so it's 30 different people who have now responded at this point. And they are alleging that, you know, there's many, many allegations. It's a lot of drugging and us and rape, sorry, but that's what it is. And so they are vehemently denying it. There's a lady who's at the forefront of it. I can't remember what
Sabrina.
Her name is. She was friends with them. Sabrina, that's right. And she was allegedly a part of the whole situation, had willful sex with them multiple times and helped them to recruit other girls for these trysts and things. And then now they're not on good terms. So they're saying that she's crazy and she's saying that they're terrible people. And I'm saying that this is messy. And if this is real, then lock them up.
What a disaster.
Because that is just dangerous and disgusting. So if this is true, y'all can't get away with this. Because this is foul on so many levels. So many disgusting levels. And I send prayers and peace for every single one of those, for anybody who's ever been a victim of anything like this. I send prayers and peace because nobody deserves that. Then Shekinah made an Instagram live. She got on Instagram live saying a lot.
As usual,
including
she's always saying
as usual. And well, she said a lot in a lot. So she was talking about the Sabrina lady and going off about her and I heard you blah 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 and you blah 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 and just going in on her. But then in that she says, and when you was the one who was helping them to recruit the girls, okay, so you're not helping. If you're getting on here to defend your friends, you're not helping the situation. Because that's just more admittance in my eyes. So, like I said, if these allegations are true, then get them out of here. And anybody who's like that, get them out of here. You don't need to be walking the free earth because you are dangerous. And black women are in enough danger and black people are in enough danger for you to be perpetuating that in disgusting ways. Like, come on, bro. That ain't right. And lastly, I wanted to save this for last. We watched the Wendy Williams movie and documentary. Yes, we did. Yes. We watched it, I think, as a unit of black people.
We did. We watched it as a family. It was quality time.
Kia and I were in our group chat
indeed
for a minimum of 4 hours. Because as you all know,
I mean, Wendy,
the movie was two and the documentary was two.
Wendy and she literally our good took our lives Shariel over.
Created a did mm-hmm. Wendy Williams took our lives over for 4 solid hours. I never saw that happening in my black ass life.
It was a takeover.
And Shariel created a bingo game.
Did
that we a bingo drinking game yes, that we played did. While we were watching the movie on the group chat. We all had to print off our own.
That is correct.
And anytime breasts were mentioned or cocaine or it was a number of things.
So many things.
But we had a good time. But sis, I wanted to get your thoughts here, live and direct, you know, for the people.
Well, you know,
on what you thought about the you know.
Honestly, I think I came away from the experience having learned a lot more about Wendy Williams as a person.
Yes.
And as agreed. Such, you know, I feel like I had it, you know, gave a lot more context to the character that is Wendy Williams that I feel like I have been, yes. you know, listening to for the larger majority of my life. You know, mm-hmm. we grew up in New York. Wendy Williams being on the radio was a very, very much part of my socialization. Mm-hmm. I was around for Wendy on High 97. I was around for Wendy on BLS. I remember these times very vividly in my life. And so, I mean, I watched the show when it first came out. Really proud of Wendy kind of in this come up. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as the seasons progress working, I didn't watch it as much. I did kind of keep up with her and watch her after show on YouTube quite a bit. It just because, you know, flaws and all, Wendy's entertaining and she tells a good story.
No, absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
And I have followed her for quite some time. And I think that both the movie and the documentary really did add some color and dimension to Wendy as a person. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we hear her side of the story. And she told right. it the way that only Wendy Williams can tell it. But I actually
only
have to say,
Wendy can.
I have to say that I walked away from the movie and the documentary way more entertained than I thought that I would be.
Yes.
And I respect, you know, Wendy. I don't always respect her approach or, you know, mm-hmm, all of mm-hmm. her decisions.
Ooh, that's a good way of putting it, yes.
You know, all of decisions mm-hmm. that she's made throughout her career. I respect that those have been, it's been her right to make those decisions and move how she wanted to move. But I have to respect how she built her career from nothing on radio.
Yeah.
And made herself into the queen of all, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The queen of all radio, queen mm-hmm. of all media, as her book was titled. And I really was proud to see how she is in the process of reclaiming her life and her identity after dealing with the trauma of, you know, her tumultuous toxic relationship, you know, and all the other things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I wasn't mad that I watched it. Of course, I watched it with you, you all. It was that, and that always, you know, makes every experience, TV watching experience better when I get to watch it with the group chat and with Twitter, because, you know, we was carrying on the Twitters as well. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I had my food, I had my drinks, I had a good, it was a Saturday night well spent in the COVID.
Oh, no, absolutely. I sat down on the group chat with my homegirls because that's where we are in
life
these times. And got me a bottle of wine, brought the whole thing here and sat down in my chair and ordered some nachos and watched it with my girlfriends and with Twitter, kind of. And, you know, so there were a few things. So, yeah, like Kia mentioned, you know, there was a lot of mess that was not. I was like, okay, there's a lot missing here. I remember things being much different than what we're seeing, right. Or much bigger, should I say. However, I did walk away later on after thinking about it a little bit. I don't want to say processing because I don't want to go. I don't want to use buzzwords when it comes to. I'm not processing the Wendy Williams movie, but as I had a couple of thoughts after it, I said, you know, maybe it wasn't so much so that it was holes in the story. Maybe it was more, like you said, of her wanting us to get her perspective and her side and some of the things that she was dealing with in her personal life while we all already knew that mess. Because I was like, all right, y'all, you glaze right on over this Hot 97 mess, which was colossal. You glaze right on over this Whitney Houston thing, which was a very large moment in your career. But I said, well, we all already know these things.
Right.
That is truth. So maybe this was for the fact, like she said, I need you to see where I'm coming from. I am trying to figure out who this little Puerto Rican girl that they had playing her as a child was. But the lady who played her did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will not take that away from her. I don't know who else I could have seen in that role, actually. I don't know who that lady is, but she did a phenomenal job.
Right. She definitely learned how to Wendy.
I should find out her name. Stop calling her that lady. I'm gonna find out what her name is. That's not shade, but like Kia said, I walked away from it way more entertained than I thought I would be. But who was not entertained was Method Man's wife.
I saw that. She's not with it.
She was actually
very upset.
Yeah, because Wendy dropped a big bomb right before everything
in true Wendy fashion.
The documentary came out.
Mm-hmm.
In true Wendy fashion. Now, let's be clear. Like Kia said, Wendy's huge. Noah came in. Noah saw the W. She saw the actress and saw the W and was like, that's not Wendy. And I said, no, she's playing Wendy. But the fact that she even knew that was the W from the Wendy Williams show, even when she was little, I think she was three. You know, my mother-in-law will. She would keep her when she was a baby, mm-hmm. and she would see when Noah would be a baby. And she, Wendy! Like, she just, Wendy been around. So, you know, I'm like Kia said, with us, we may not necessarily always agree with her approach or necessarily even agree with her. But
exactly.
You have to give her the respect.
We have to.
Period.
She has.
But you have to. You got to give her respect. You got to give her respect for where she's come from in this industry. I'm not saying she came from a background of struggle, but come from in this industry and seeing the struggles that she dealt with in her childhood. And the struggles that she dealt with, like he has said, her extremely toxic relationship with the human scrotum. That is Kevin. So that was the takeaway. Yes. Wendy Williams hour of power.
4 hours of power. I think the young lady's name
4 hours of power.
The young lady that played her name is Sierra Payton.
Sierra Payton.
It says here that she has appeared in The Walking Dead, General Hospital, Graceland, and NCIS. She also had a supporting role in Tyler Perry's Amadeus Family Funeral.
Definitely never saw that, but I did see her in the Wendy Williams movie and she did a great job.
Go ahead, ma'am. Sierra Payton. She went to New Orleans Center for Creative
Arts.
Go
ahead, Sierra.
Yes. Go ahead, girl. She did a good job. She played that role.
She did. So shout out to Sierra and shout out to Wendy for the footprints, the size 11 footprints that she has made in society.
Ooh, Lord, yes.
We have a bit of a different shout out this week, so I think that we should head that direction. Don't feel like sitting in a waiting room right now. None of us do. Planned Parenthood's got you covered. As a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality health care in ways that fit your life. Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way, by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all of your healthcare decisions. Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high-quality, affordable, and private, just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it. Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check out PlannedParenthood.org/grown to learn more and book a virtual appointment. That's PlannedParenthood.org/grown.
Last year showed us that you never know what life is going to throw at you. And if you use credit cards to pay for unexpected expenses, it can be overwhelming to manage that debt. Take control with Upstart so you know exactly what to expect. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners with a 5-minute online rate check. You can see your rate upfront for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as fast as one business day. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/grown. That's upstart.com/grown. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/grown.
My sister's popping right now, like.
Oh, okay. So our shout out is a little different this week. So first and foremost, we're not having a kitchen table talk. And you all will see why, because our shout out is a little bit more extensive. And then we're going to do a double honesty box. But our shout out is first in honor of Black History Month, which we know we are in the second day of now as this comes out. And we're going to be honoring the life of Cicely Tyson.
Absolutely. Queen Cicely. We thought.
Yes.
I mean, as many of you know, Cicely passed last week at the age of 96. And just in honor of her indelible footprint and impact on Black life, Black culture for the last few decades, we wanted to acknowledge acknowledge her life and her legacy and just make her the shout out by not only talking about who she was and many of her accomplishments as an artist and a humanitarian, but also wanting to acknowledge, you know, just some of our favorite Cicely moments. Because, you know, Cicely Tyson been Cicely Tyson since, you know, I've been a little bitty baby girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's been Cicely Tyson.
I've ever known.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never really known life without her. So, you know, losing her is losing one of our major, major icons, cultural icons.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to just, you know, have some time to share some tidbits and information and things that we've learned about her and her life and her career. And also, like I said, share some of the moments of her, you know, our lives and what Cicely meant to us.
Yes.
I was going to start off by saying that, you know, I've always felt a special connection to Cicely because she was born December 19th and I was born December 20th.
Yes. And you so, know, I was going
I have always felt very connected to Cicely. I felt like,
y'all got the same cheekbones.
She was my sister. She was my mother. You know what I'm saying? Mother Cicely and all of her greatness. She gave me, you know, I've said that since I was a very little girl. Like, you know.
You know, Cicely's birthday is the day before mine. We're special.
Okay. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say also, well, I was like, she is born the day before Kia because she's the 19th.
Yes.
and she's from Harlem.
Indeed.
So Cicely is a Harlem girl.
She's a New Yorker.
Born in Harlem, like passed me. In Harlem. Okay. So what I thought was so beautiful is that Cicely didn't start off as an actress. I don't know if a lot of you didn't know that. She didn't start off as an actress. She started off, she was a receptionist or did clerical work in a social office where it was social work. And she was discovered by Ebony and started off modeling for them, probably because of those cheekbones that she also shares with Kia outside of, outside of the Sagittarius.
Legendary cheekbones.
Legendary.
But listen, one of my favorite stories that I got a chance to hear her tell during one of the interviews that she did was that, you know, the dramatic way. Did you hear the dramatic way that she quit her job as a secretary?
Oh, no. Please share.
So she got discovered by a beauty editor at Ebony magazine. Right. 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 And I think this was in like 1954. I read it somewhere. One of these articles I was reading. But yes, she got discovered, I believe, in the 50s. Yes. So, yes, she was discovered by a fashion editor at Ebony magazine. And she quickly rose to the top in the modeling world. When she got discovered, she went into her boss's office. This is so something that I wish that I could do one day. But she let the people know that she was leaving this job because she was quoted as saying, she was quoted as saying, I knew that I was never meant. I knew that my purpose in life was always greater than banging on a typewriter for the rest of my life. And so I will be leaving now. Thank you for your time and consideration. So I just, like, you know, I could just see her little self very, very grandly saying, like, because you thought I was going to be here banging
to a
on
white
this,
man.
Yes. Like, oh, sorry. I'm actually called to doing greater things than banging on this typewriter for the rest of my days. I just love that.
Yo,
she probably
that
said
is
it so
like
sweetly.
Big dick energy.
Absolutely. Like,
she probably did.
She probably said it so. She was like, here she goes. She said, after loudly announcing, I know that God did not put me on the face of this earth to bang on a typewriter for the rest of my life. Have a wonderful day.
She's like, catch me in 30 years when I go kill Frank Bennett. So,
yes, indeed.
Another thing that I thought was cool about Cicely is that when she was a child, as children, they were not allowed to go see movies. They weren't allowed to go to the movie
because
theater.
Another thing that Cicely and I have in common is that we were raised in the church. Okay. Cicely said that she preached at Abyssinian Baptist Church 3 years ago, and she told a story while she was giving her sermon, and she was saying, she said she was in church from Sunday morning until Saturday night every week. And she said, and she went through all of the things that, you know, us church children, she was like, you know, on Monday night we had young people's meeting, and on Tuesday night there was old people's meeting, and on Wednesday there was Bible study, and on Thursday we had choir rehearsal, and on Friday we had, I was like, ooh, yes girl, I know this life. So she's, yes, to your point, she did not grow up watching movies or television. And so when she was propositioned with acting, it was kind of just like, what's that?
Listen, she's like, I don't know anything about this show business world. She's like, I didn't have any background in it, period.
For sure.
And, you know, she still made a way for herself and still made it where she didn't get screwed over. And the amount of integrity that she had, because in all of these years and in all of these roles, she refused to take roles that degraded black women and roles that degraded humans in general. She's like, I'm not doing that. If it's going to be something that's going to degrade me as a human being, I'm not taking the role.
For sure.
And she was able to build this career where we know who Cicely Tyson is, as she passed at 96 years old, which my nana who passed was 96 as well. Aww. So I was like, you know, I just felt a little extra affection
I
right
love
there.
That.
But Cicely is auntie. Like, she's auntie. I thought it would be fun for us to list a couple of our favorite Cicely roles.
Okay.
Over time. It don't have to be all of them, just a couple of our faves.
I feel like the most impactful one, the first uh, I guess the one I remember her for the most, I don't know, I guess that's weird to say, but when she played Benta in Roots. She played
in Roots.
Yeah, in Roots. In Roots, as my grandmother would say, in Roots. She played Benta in Roots, and then she played, you know, of course, The Diary of Miss Jane Pittman.
Oh yes,
those are like
that legendary scene of at the water fountain.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
we will never forget. There were no words uttered, ooh, honey. Lord it have was mercy. Just her walking to a water fountain. It was profound.
Oh God, we'll never forget it. And I think I remember her role in The Help. I remember her role in, she was in Fried Green Tomatoes. I remember that role that she played in that.
That is one of my favorite roles.
Oh, so Sipsy. Good. So good, so good, so good. Let me think. There were many others.
The Women of Brewster Place.
Ooh, how could I forget?
Mm-hmm.
Kenyatta's mother. She smacked Robin Givens right in the mouth.
Did. She was playing her mother. She was. Yo, absolutely. Did you ever see her acceptance speech at the oh shit, what was it? The where she got Shonda Rhimes is the one who gave her the who presented her with the award.
Yes, she got
the Academy of TV or whatever.
Hall of Fame.
The Academy TV Hall of Fame.
That was in like 2018. Yeah.
She got up there and she was like, let me talk to my mom first. So she was like, my mother was very upset that I didn't go to college. Like, she was very upset, but she was like, but I'm in an academy now. She was like, so you can't say nothing.
I love it.
She's like, let go of the disappointment. But we love Cicely Tyson. We love that she's used her platform for all of this time to speak on social justice issues. She's always stood up for Black women, always stood up for Black people. Just, they don't make them like that.
So I've been just an example of class and grace and just like she was so regal. And she wasn't a woman of many words, but she was the kind of... But she had such a presence, and every time she spoke, she just commanded attention. And I just always loved and appreciated that she never tried to be anybody else. She was just authentically Cicely in every space.
Yeah.
And she stood for what she believed in, and it did not limit her impact, right? It might not have meant, like, you know, in thinking about it, the roles that she turned down, in her decision not to be in roles that depicted Black women or Black people in stereotypical ways or ways that, you know, were limited. Her decision to not do that, you know, didn't limit, you know, looking at, if you go on her IMDb, she literally has like hundreds and hundreds of pages. Because we talk about movies, but we haven't even grazed like the television TV shows, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and the TV miniseries. I'm even thinking, like, as a little girl, I remember episodes of her in like Touched by an Angel. Like, I remember her Touched by an Angel episode. I remember her episode on, she even did Saturday Night Live. She hosted Saturday Night Live.
She hosted it.
That was like, I remember watching that on YouTube one day. And, you know, just she did an SVU episode that is legendary. And you should look it up and find and watch it, because it's just like, whew. That was in 2009. And of course we cannot not talk about, you know, her playing Ophelia Harkness on How to Get Away with Murder.
That might be the thing that makes me watch the show.
We cannot talk about that, right? So, I mean, it's just amazing, and it's just been really dope to see how other people have been paying tribute to Miss Cicely and her career. Kerry Washington, Shonda Rhimes, Viola Davis, Angela Bassett, Tyler Perry, even Diddy. Like so many people have, you know, taken to their social media and used their platforms to just honor her. And, you know, Kennedy Honors recipient. She got an honorary Academy Award. just, I mean, we can just go on and on and on about all of the amazing things that she's done and she's accomplished. And in the honor of Black History Month and in honor of her awesome, amazing life well lived, we just wanted to feature her.
Yes.
You know, this week as our spotlight. And I don't know if we'll have a spotlight for the rest of Black History Month, but maybe that's something we can think about. But we definitely wanted to celebrate the life and the legacy of the legendary Miss Cicely Tyson on Getting Grown.
I actually kind of love that as a series. I think we should celebrate people who deserve their flowers. Maybe people who don't always get the flowers that they deserve, but they deserve them. I mean, it's only like we only got about 3 more episodes of Black History Month.
Cause y'all know they don't do it right. Maybe do. We can have Black History
going forward
on Getting Grown and just make and make it a point to do it. But yeah,
we love y'all know it's Black History Eternity over here. We love you, Cicely Tyson. We really, really do.
We honor you. We celebrate you here on Getting Grown. Thank you for being an awesome example of evolution and class and grace. I can't wait to get into your book. Do us all a favor. Her book was published literally like 2-3 days before she passed. Mm-hmm. She was doing press to promote the book when she did pass on January 28th. Buy the book, but do me a favor. Don't put no more money in Jeff Bezos' pockets. Find yourself a Black bookstore to purchase the book from.
That would be dope.
And let's read it. Let's read
I think we should.
Together.
I think we should do that. I think we should do that. Let's for do sure. that. So, we're gonna do that, and then some of the last words that we saw in the media from Cicely Tyson, which I think we can all take with us in our respective lives and whatever we do in our lives, who we are, what our purpose is, and all of those things. She was asked, you know, if there's anything that you could say to just round everything up, what would it be? And she was like, "I've done my best." That's all we can do, right? It's our best.
That's right.
And I thought that was a beautiful, very simple lesson to show us that it don't have to be a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? As long as you know you're doing what you can do for yourself, you're doing the best you can do for yourself, then that's all you can do. And I think that's a beautiful reminder for each and every one of us. So we love you, Cicely. We just want to honor you here, like Kia said, on Getting Grown. And let us mosey on over to these honesty boxes because we've got two of them. Sick of the same old breakfast? Here's something new. Just Egg Scrambles. Cooks and tastes just like the eggs you're used to, but it's made from plants. Just Egg is protein packed, but with less saturated fat and no cholesterol. If you have 2 chicken eggs with breakfast, that's already 124% of your recommended cholesterol for the day. My goodness. The science is pretty clear. Plant-based diets can have a dramatic improvement in everything from heart health to life longevity. Just Egg tastes and cooks just like conventional eggs. Put it in an omelet, scramble, French toast, banana bread, pad thai, whatever you like to do with eggs. Just Egg is also better for the planet, using 93% fewer carbon emissions and 98% less water than a conventional egg. It takes 53 gallons of water to produce a single egg. Yes, 53 gallons. Imagine carrying 53 gallons of water up your walk upstairs. So, y'all know I was a little hesitant. I'm going to be real honest. I was a little hesitant about this Just Egg. Sorry, Just Egg, just being honest. But as a person who does eat conventional eggs and was hesitant to go in, I tried it. And let me tell you, I was quite pleased. So I received the Just Egg mix. Like they said, I used it for French toast. My French toast was exactly the same, if not a little bit better. And then you also got some Just Egg patties. So if you want to make breakfast sandwiches, I was able to make breakfast sandwiches. I read the ingredients. The wonderful thing about the ingredients is I was able to identify everything that's in it. And I said, okay, well, this is how we make a plant-based egg. Your girl is intrigued. And I tasted it and it tasted like it was supposed to taste. It was delicious. It tastes like breakfast. You can find Just Egg pretty much anywhere at most grocery stores, including Whole Foods, Walmart, and Kroger, and on Amazon Prime Now or Instacart. Just Egg, a better egg for you and your family. Thank you, Just Egg. It's a great product and from a company with a great mission.
Honestly, truly.
All right. So we got two Honesty Bax questions this week. And we're going to start with the first listener. Would you like to give her a pseudonym, sis?
Sure. Let's call her Wanda.
Wanda. Wanda writes, Dear Jade and Kia, praise the Lord, niggas. Ladies, I love the show. Your realness and candor about being black women in America is refreshing and comforting. We just want us all to feel included, Wanda. I'm writing to you because I need some advice on honoring my late grandmother. We send our love first and foremost before we move forward. She died on January 6th unexpectedly, and I wasn't ready for the loss I felt. I feel a sadness like I've never felt before. Jade, you mentioned your Nana passed away over the holidays. My sincere condolences. Thank you. If your Nana was like my granny, she was one with the Lord. And I know they're in a better place. That's what I'm telling myself about my granny for some comfort. Anyway, here's my situation. My grandmother has three grandchildren, and she's always said she wished we were closer. The grandchildren aren't enemies or anything, but we are 7 years apart and live in different states. Granny was our connector. Honestly, she was the connector for the whole family. She has four kids, none of whom are close, and I know my grandmother felt like the grandkids could break the cycle of beefing within the family. I'm 35, my younger cousin is 28, and my older cousin is 42. My grandmother told me all the time that she really wished me and my younger cousin, especially, were closer as I could be a mentor to her. Both my cousin and I have mothers who were more interested in men or partying or anything other than mothering us when we were young. This caused some trauma in both of our childhoods. Thank God for our grandmother, right? When my cousin and I do get together, we have so much fun learning about all the things we have in common. It's wild, from dating struggles, health concerns, job struggles, and just being a black woman in America. So here's my question. My cousin lives in North Carolina and just bought a house. She has a 9-year-old daughter. I live in Ohio and I'm single. Please stop. She said chronically single. I have a life with friends and of course my dad, but realistically nothing is holding me here. My dad has a wife, so if I left, he has someone. I'm a teacher. I can go anywhere career-wise. Should I move to Charlotte to be closer to my younger cousin? She, my cousin, told me, you know my house has four bedrooms in case you ever want to move. Her words struck me, but I'm also still hearing the words of our grandmother that we should be closer. Our grandmother was my cousin's rock. My grandmother helped raise my cousin's daughter and even quarantined with her so my cousin could work while her daughter did virtual school. I feel sadness for my cousin, like our grandmother dying has hit her the hardest because she's the youngest and our grandmother was her person. My cousin doesn't have that support from our grandmother anymore, or anyone else for that matter. Is it time for me to step up and move closer so I can be there, or is it arrogant of me to think she even needs someone now that our grandmother is gone? I look forward to your thoughts, Jade and Kia. Virtual hugs and fist bumps.
Oh, Wanda.
Yeah.
Again, as Jade says, you know, we're praying your strength through this time of grief and loss that you are navigating. And, you know, I'm grateful and honored that you would trust us to
absolutely
maybe help you think about, you know, your steps forward and living a life in honor and tribute to your grandmother. I think that you should honor your feelings in this. I wouldn't be so dismissive of your feelings. If you feel compelled or led to be there for your cousin, I think that you should share with her what you've shared with us. And I think, you know, it's not about, I like, just to your one of your latter points in your email where you were talking about, you know, not wanting to assume that she needs you or anything like that. I think I'm just, one of the things I'm looking forward to doing with more intention is like ridding myself of assumptions, making assumptions and being impacted by the assumptions of others. I know that I'm not going to be able to totally avoid it, but I think one of the things that we can do to sort of not let our own assumptions rule our lives is to not make them assumptions anymore by getting information. So I think there's nothing wrong with having a conversation with your cousin, being honest with her about, you know, what she said. And I think that, you know, asking her, like, you know, I remember what you said in terms of there being space in your house. And I've been thinking about taking you up on that offer and wanted to talk to you about what that would look like. Not making any assumptions, but just kind of saying, you know, let's talk about what that would look like. If that's a real possibility, if that's something that will work for me and work for you. It's not something that, it's a decision that you should make together, versus you deciding it on your own or trying to figure it all out on your own. You can take that pressure off of yourself and just be open, just be transparent. Like, hey, I've been thinking about what you said and thinking about what it would look like and thinking about our grandmother's last or wish, or I would say thinking about our grandmother's wish or desire for us to be closer. And thinking about what that would look like in practice and, you know, involving your cousin in that decision making. Because it seems like, as you said, there are other things going on in your life. I mean, other, like, your life seems to be otherwise situated to where a move would make sense, in terms of, you know, it wouldn't pose a huge risk to your professional career. And your father is good, you know what I'm saying? So there's nothing really holding you where you are. And you seem to be open to the idea of, you know, something new. So, yeah, I mean, I guess my advice is you don't have to make this decision on your own. Talk to your cousin like you talk to us, and y'all can make this decision together.
I think that is perfectly put. I have nothing to add to that. I have nothing to add. Kia said it very beautifully. So Wanda, please keep us posted on, you know, on what happens if you decide to move, if you all have that conversation. We'd love to hear. But I think that your heart is in a beautiful place.
For sure.
And so with all those recommendations from Kia, I really feel like that could be a successful situation. And also, who's to say if you move in with her that it's going to be forever? Maybe it just puts you all in a closer proximity. Maybe you go and then you kind of get your own stuff together and get your own spot after.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you guys are still
down the street from
each other. There are
many ways that this could work out. Right.
Yeah.
There's many ways that this can work out. That's why I think it's best to kind of make a, you know, talk to your cousin and make a plan for what would be, you know, how to move forward. And then not, like Jay said, don't feel the pressure of it being, you, it's not a marriage, right? So if it doesn't work, it doesn't even have to be no beef. It could just be like, you know, how about for the next year or the next 6 months, I come kick it with you for a little while, and then we can kind of reassess and see where that is or what that is, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So keep us posted, Wanda. And we send you love right now while you're dealing with the loss of your grandmother. You know, we both are no strangers to that. So we send you all the love right now for you and your family. We have one more. Would you like to give her a pseudonym, sis?
Okay, let's call her Allison.
Okay, Allison. Allison says, good day, ladies. Greetings and salutations and all that jazz. Let me give you all the accolades and props you ladies deserve to expose the true scam that is adulting. Oh, she actually gave us her own pseudonym. So she's Allison, a.k.a. Tired.
Tired. She says, I'm sorry.
She said, because that's what I am. Tired of my husband being in other folks' business.
Ooh.
So she says, we've been married for 5 years, and the entire time of our marriage, he's been in other people's business. He has a number of friends who have had terrible marriages, according to him. He takes it upon himself to tell them what to do in their marriage and gets upset when they don't listen to him. I have tried to explain how none of this concerns him, but he has in his little pea-sized head, that he is being a good friend and only wants the best for them. That's all well and good, but what does this have to do with you, or better yet, us? My motto is, what do I look like telling an adult what to do once they have made that adult decision for themselves? You don't pay a bill in that house, so leave the adult to live with their decisions. I've tried for years to get him to realize he's not doing the Lord's work and to leave these people alone. He's a brick wall, and I just let him continue to bury himself in mess. I need advice on how to keep my sanity and how to ignore this fool while he just keeps up trouble for himself. Thank you for everything in advance. Sincerely, Allison, a.k.a. Tired.
I don't know. So Allison's husband is waist deep in other people's business, and she is sick of it. I don't know. I think you should take the first go at this because I don't have a husband.
Okay.
I don't know. I would love to hear your input, and then I will just add on if I have anything to add on.
My husband is like super opposite of this, but okay. So, you know what? I think you asked it right, Allison. Tired. That's your first and last name.
Tired Allison. Yes.
Tired Allison. You asked the right question because you can't control him ultimately, right? You can't control his decisions. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out how to keep your own sanity. I say therapy is always a wonderful way of figuring out ways to keep your sanity outside of the obvious, figuring out what kind of hobbies and things you can do to kind of take up your own time, and then setting boundaries first and foremost.
Yeah, man.
So if he comes to you with this mess of other people's business, you set a hard boundary. Listen, I'm not getting involved in people's business, and I don't want to hear about them people's business. And I love you, and I'd love to hear all about your business. If you want to come to me and tell me your feelings, your emotions, your innermost thoughts, your opinions about politics or dinner or anything that concerns our household or you. If you want to come share those things, I am all the way here. I will be your sounding board. But if you are coming to tell me anything else about your friend's business, I do not want to hear it. And I think by setting a very hard boundary, he's going to have no choice but to get the clue. I hope.
Agreed. I think, yeah, I think where I was headed, it was the same in terms of just enforcing the boundary, just committing to being diligent, because I mean, it's clear that this is not going to be something that you only going to have to say one time. Like I think creating a boundary, it's really your best bet, creating and enforcing this boundary. Like, we are not doing this. Like, I don't know who you going to tell, but this is the tea. It's not. Okay.
Not even we at this point. I'm not doing this.
Correct. Period. But yeah, it's tired, Allison. I think that is what. Yeah. I don't know. I'm actually kind of shocked to hear this. Now, I do know that men are nosy and men can be gossips, but I've never heard of, this is new to me to hear a man to be this invested in other people's business. And I'm curious about that.
Well, okay, see, niggas are messy. I have noticed that. I was like, oh, y'all gossip quite a bit. They do. And I don't really deal with a nosy partner. But I have seen a lot of men. I have a friend actually whose partner is not necessarily nosy, but just more so intrusive and thinks that he is all knowing.
Right.
And so sometimes I think, yeah, it's more like a savior complex type of situation. Like, well, I feel like, you know, a high horse type of. So it might be something more along the lines of those. And he might just need to get burned a couple times in the ass in order to learn his lesson. And that's not something that you'll be able to do. But for your own sanity.
Is she saying that her husband is going out to identify? Like, is he inserting himself in this? Or is this like people come to him and ask him for stuff?
He takes it upon himself, is what she said, to tell them what to do in their marriages and gets upset when they don't listen to him.
Got it. Okay.
So large ego and large savior complex. Not talking shit about your husband, tired Allison. Just piggybacking off of you. We're just reading the email. But that's what it sounds like, you know. And again, he's an adult. You can't control him. But you can't control you, sis. And you can't control the peaceful situations around you directly. And if part of that is, like he is enforcing that boundary, hard body, and being like, I'm not shutting it down. I'm not listening to this. Like, literally, I'm not. Go talk to the cat. Let us know how that works out for you. I'm like, how many friends does he have with marriage problems? I'm just so fascinated. Wow. I'm so fascinated. But continue to send your honesty box questions. Tired Allison, you keep us posted. And the rest of you, continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we will move along to our Black person self-care.
I deserve.
Oh, it's Black person self-care time. And my Black woman self-care this week is, so I know you all are probably about tired of listening to me talk about cleaning and whatnot, but it's not even on a surface level. I have literally been going in through my house. I had a friend come by, COVID safe, obviously, this is part of my quarantine. And she helped me. This is part of us recognizing some of the things that we need that we talked about last week a little bit and so mm-hmm. forth. And one of those things that I realized I needed was help. So she came by and she helped me do a deep organization of my storage closet, and kind of reconfiguring some things through my dining room and my living room and all of that to make for a better flow of space, and just some small shifts that ended up just being something that I just really needed. You know, sometimes you need somebody to help you buckle down and just do the shit. You know what I'm saying? And she's coming back for one more day, and we're going to get the rest of, you know, the rest of the house. But in the meantime, I have been reorganizing every cabinet in my kitchen. I took a ton of shit downstairs in my building for people to take kitchen supplies away. And, you know, there was a ton of recycling. You would have thought we were moving the way I was clearing out. But I've been going through every drawer, every junk drawer, reorganized all just the appliances and the mixing board and the, you know, moved glassware and vitamins and medicine and went through all the vitamins to see what's old. You know what I'm saying? If you've got expired things in there and what needs to be thrown out, just doing a really intentional clearing out and just trying to get rid of like junk and just, you know, kind of knowing what's in my space instead of accumulating stuff all over the place. You have 100 can items. Are any of those expired? Are any of your condiments expired? Like, do you have 3 bottles of vitamin D? Can they be consolidated into one? Things like that. So it's been really, really, really refreshing for me because I'm seeing that the light at the end of this project, which I know is going to ultimately lead to a clearing in my head so that I can focus on, you know, some more important things in my life at the moment, as opposed to thinking about a project each day that I need to complete in my house, knowing that there's only so many hours to do it. So that's my Black woman self-care this week. This purging has been really, really beautiful for me. Clothes, appliances, just shit I don't need. And that's mine. What you got?
LaToya and I, and a group of friends, are doing a book club. We're reading, that's specifically dedicated to, thinking about how we think. It's about renewing our minds and, trying to, identify some of the patterns and habits, that we have that no longer serve us, and mm-hmm. strategizing around how to make different choices, and, you know, change the way that we think about ourselves and our situations. And the book club met for the first time, Sunday evening. So, I don't know, like, you know, the book itself is, a really good book. It's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. It's written by a woman of faith who really kind of breaking down some of some biblical principles and thinking about mindfulness and consciousness and how to kind of apply some of the things that we read about and recite in the Bible to our everyday lives. And so the first book club meeting, the first chapter, was really about taking stock and thinking about some of the things, kind of thinking about, are we happy in our lives? Why or why not? And it was a kind of a rough conversation, right? Because it kind of forced all of us to be really open and transparent about some of the things that we're struggling with. And I was a little overwhelmed by it at first, like, kind of like how the first time I went to therapy, I was overwhelmed by just like, wow, I'm really jacked up. but so, I kind of had similarly.
I'm not laughing at you just, being jacked up.
No, it's true. It's true though. I think it just kind of proves how I tend to go about thinking about things as like, final destinations and not like a process. And that's kind of one of the things that I noticed, like, oh, wow, that's going to be really hard. And then I don't try because it's going to be hard. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to work against. So I say all that to say that we had our first meeting yesterday and it was tough, right? You think a book club is supposed to be all like, yes, girl, yes. But I mean, it was really about like being held accountable for some of the things that we say and why we say it and how to change. So that's what I'm doing in Black Women Self-Care. I'll keep y'all posted. And yeah, like I said, I don't know. I haven't read the book. I guess I shouldn't say it's really good so far, but the first chapter was really good. And I guess I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes.
Please keep us posted. I'm very interested to see the journey. And I love that. I love that concept. I think that's beautiful. We do have to find ways to hold each other accountable and be accountability partners and find, creative methods of doing that so that we can all just be our best selves. Go off.
We have work to do.
Well, I think it's time for us to be our lower selves now and head on over to the Petty Peeves. What do you think?
I'm down.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. I'm ready to be petty. And this is probably going to be just that. So we've talked about a lot. We've talked about my name, how it's pronounced, how it's spelled. We've talked about that a lot, right, on this show and throughout my life, right? And, that's something that I have talked with my mother about at great length. Like, I don't know if she knows, because of the choices that you made around how my name is both pronounced and spelled has just resulted in a lot of labor for me, but that's neither here nor there, right? What's done is done. But my petty peeve today is about my name, and it is about me being frustrated about how people see my name. Like, whether my name, because my name is in my email address, it's in my Instagram handle. It is there, and it is spelled correctly. So I am all the more frustrated when my name is literally right there. And still, y'all just spell it however you want to spell it. Okay? Like, however you want. Like, literally, my handle is at Takiya Nicole. And literally, like, it is literally right there just under the comment icon that you press to leave your comment. And still, thanks, you get in your comment and spell my name how you want to spell it.
I think I saw a T.
The disregard. Apostrophe. It's the apostrophes for me. It's the apostrophes. It is the, hey. Whatever. I just am fascinated by how you just disregard the correct spelling that is right there to spell it how you want to spell it. And that's just it. Period.
Ooh, child. The fact that I know exactly what you're talking about is I'm dying internally.
I mean, it happens so much. It happens so much. It happens in email. It happens on Twitter. And I mean, the what's crazy is that you probably don't know which one I'm referring to. It just happens that much.
Oh. Oh.
Right. Yes.
Apologies.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Just in case y'all had any questions, you spell Kia's name. T-Y-K-E.
They spell it.
I A. Takiya.
How they want to spell it. However they want to spell it.
And when I call her Takiya on the show, that's a troll. Let's just be clear.
It's
that's not her name.
Yeah.
Her name is Takiya. Takiya. T everybody say it with that's me. Right. T-Y-K-E-I-A.
Lord, we'll see. I don't have any belief that it will make a difference, but you know, thank you. But yes, that's my petty peeve.
That's fair, sis. I apologize. I'm okay. So sorry that you do that you're dealing with this. My petty peeve this week is for the old nigga in the bodega. It's always a bodega. It's always a nigga in the bodega. So I go up to the counter. I'm there. It's just me and the guy in the store behind the counter at this point. So this old nigga walks in. And he walks right up on my back. I don't know what it is about you niggas like to walk, liking to walk up on people's backs. Not even just in a pandemic, like in general, but especially in a panzanella. Please. So... I'm at the counter and paying for my stuff. And then the nigga walks up real fast and walks up on me. I said, whoa, 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 brother, you got to back it on up. He was like, you ain't got to be scared of me. I said, ain't nobody scared of you, bro. It's a fucking pandemic outside. Get off my back. Like, nigga, don't stand near me. Don't stand close to me. So... he starts going on and on. Of course, I'm a bitch about 3-4 different times. All because I asked this man not to walk up and stand up on my back. And I'm not going to tell you all the things that I wished on him on my way out of the store.
Oh, Lord.
But it was ugly. Well, it was ugly. I just, you know, I did it very calmly because I was like, I'm not going to take this nigga seriously. Like, anybody who's going to fight you, who wants to argue with you about you telling them to get off your back is not well. And so therefore I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to scream at you, but I did tell him 7 different things that were going to happen to him as I walked out of that store.
Oh no.
I was like, all right, sir, I'll be a bitch, but you are going to choke on your spit at some point today. Promise. Oh, but that's my petty peeve this week. That's my petty peeve. That is another episode of Getting Grown. Thank you all always for tuning in, for listening. Shout out to everybody who was really happy with the episode last week. Shout out to Good Moms Bad Choices for having us on their show. I hope you all were able to head on over there and go listen and support. And thank you for supporting them over here on the show as well. Sis, you want to take it out for us?
Listen, we've had a good show. We have enjoyed another round of conversation at the kitchen table. We think, again, I want to echo Jade's thanks to you for joining us this week. We look forward to you joining us next week for more fun. In the meantime, I want you to continue to moisturize your skin. That's always critical, especially in these winter months, right? We also need you to drink your water because hydration is essential to clean living. Finally, as we discussed at length during our trash segment, there is so much joy and peace in minding your own business. And if you don't have any business, then that illustrates, you know, that you are focused on the wrong things, because there's just a host of things that you could be worried about, you know, for yourself, your house, your livelihood, your bank account, your bathroom, your, uterus, your scrotum, all of the things that belong to you, your mouth, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your teeth, all of these things are important and need to be cared for and minded
like the things that belong to you. So you should mind those things and not mind anything else. All right. Cause that's what's going to make sure that you live long and you live a life, that is well moisturized, because your black will crack if it's dry.
Absolutely. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.